Is there on the 400 foot? Come on now. We're going to go ahead and call the MS meeting order. My name is Dave Klein, the past president. So, to fill in for today. So, item number 1B, do we have a quorum?
Yes,
we do have a quorum. Item 1B, audience participation. Anyone?
None.
I see none here. We'll go to item 2, the minutes from January 26, 2017. And as you state, whoever makes the motion, please state your name for the record so it's easier for the minutes.
Phil Johnson.
First, do I hear a second?
Frank Harrison.
There's a motion and there's a second to accept the minutes. Any discussion on that? Hearing none, all those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Item 3, the staff reports, 3A. Curtis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, I'd like to thank Mayor Klein for stepping in. He is, Gene Roberts was our last chair, but he retired, so we couldn't go back to Gene, so then we had to keep working our way back. Eventually, we found someone. We really appreciate that. Of course, ODOT did schedule the Route 14 bridge ribbon cutting today at 1 o'clock, so unfortunately, we can't be there, but I think we're all really pleased that that bridge is now open. It was a great job by ODOT.
Five-month time period.
I thought we could just do it remotely from there, but it's 37 degrees, so, you know. But anyway, on the financial progress report, AMETS is well under budget. We're a little more than halfway through the year. We're sitting very well financially. We are looking to hire a couple of new people here in the next month that'll help get us back to more appropriate staffing levels. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Hearing no questions, I'd entertain a motion.
So moved. Richard Nicky.
Joe Paradise, second.
The motion has been seconded. Discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Item 3D, the technical report.
All right, thank you again, Mr. Chairman. What we found, I guess the most interesting thing for probably a lot of people in this room was President Trump released his first budget last week, which seems like a heck of a long time ago. Obviously, because from the federal highway perspective, we have a legislation which takes us through funding with the gas tax through 2020. Really, the budget only looked at discretionary funding through the transportation program, which basically, the Tiger program, which I know has been used successfully in Kent and the grant received in Akron, is recommended to be cut, to be chopped out of the federal program. Not dealing with us, but dealing with a lot of mayors and communities, the CDBG program possibly would be axed to zero, which is about, I believe, $6 billion right now is spent CDBG across the nation. Which I think over, I think it's like $130 million in Ohio, is invested in Ohio or something like that. So a lot of the budget, I think, is bluster. It's more about the policy direction. But I think it gives us a sense of, even on the transportation front, how we'll sort of operate. I mean, we're still hearing about the $1 trillion infrastructure package, but really, the more we drill down into that, the only thing we're hearing really substantially is, the private public partnerships that look at things like tolling and kind of higher adding capacity. We're not hearing a lot of things about how we're going to get more money into, say, rehab kind of our pavement and bridges, things like that. So it's a little concerning right now. Frankly, I'm not even sure if there was a bill passed, which would probably be within a year or two. I'm not sure if it would even come through our agencies. There seems to be this big push and discussion about, having states commit to being able to get projects developed and funded in like a 3 or 6 month time period, and they want to bypass federal regulations and all these things. So it's just, right now, it's hard to envision how something like that would work. So we're still trying to, pick up when we can when we hear some discussion about it, and we'll keep you posted on that. But really, that's all I wanted to touch on. Again, none of it's sunny news, but I think it just places the reality of kind of where there is sort of this interest in federal disinvestment in a lot of different programs right now.
Any questions? Not. Moving on to 3C, AMET's Federal Fund Report, Attachment 3C. David?
Thank you, Mayor Klein. In project news, in fiscal year 2017 project news, we are pleased to report that Frost Road in Streetsboro sold in February, and the construction is planned to start in April. Frost Road is our largest project in fiscal year 17, funded with $4.4 million of CMAQ funds. If you take a look at your funding program balance tables, we're doing pretty well with STP and CMAQ, but something I want to bring to your attention is in the TAP project sheet, on the TAP project sheet in fiscal year 2019, because some projects moved around, we currently have no projects scheduled in that year, no TAP projects. Now, I know the county is interested in moving the Montrose sidewalk project up, and possibly Greens may be wanting to move up a sidewalk project that's scheduled in fiscal year 20. So if your community has any TAP projects that you can move up, even if it's just a engineering or right-of-way phase, please let us know, because we would really like to put some projects in that year so we don't lose any money. The funding policy subcommittee had their last meeting on February 22nd. Curtis will present a summary of the changes later in this meeting, so I don't want to steal his thunder. But we will hold a funding policy workshop on April 27th at 9:30 at Richfield Village Hall, and that'll be a time when we can get together and ask questions and talk about the proposed changes. And we expect to ask the policy committee for approval of the changes at our May meeting. And one last thing, we will be accepting new CMAQ applications between May and August, basically throughout the summer. We accept those applications, and then we evaluate them, and we kind of put them in order based on our criteria. But then in September, we take our projects and to Columbus, and we submit those along with all the other MPOs in Ohio, and it goes to the statewide committee. So that's about all I have for the federal funds report. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you. And moving on to old business, item A, fiscal year 2018 to 2021 TIP, attachment 4A.
Thanks again. Back in January, I handed out table H3, which is the part of the TIP that shows the projects, the AMATS projects. The way this works is we work with ODOT, and they send us lists from their end, and we look at it, and we make sure that our end agrees with it, and then we make little adjustments as we need to. But one thing I would like to bring to your attention is with this handout, there's another list of projects called the line item list. And the line item list is projects in your community that has federal and state money in them but do not have AMATS money. So that's kind of a new way of, we kind of categorize those projects as a line item project, and that makes it a little easier to make changes and such as we need to. So A lot of these projects are resurfacing projects, or they might be district-wide projects such as guardrail for resurfacing and maybe signs or things like that. But that's the big difference with this handout is we are showing we have the line items listed with this handout. And we'll have a public meeting, a TIP public meeting on March 30th at 6:30 at the public library. And we hope to then have the TIP approved in May, and after it's approved, then it'll be an official document.
Which public library is that? Akron?
The Akron, the main public library in downtown Akron. March 30th at 6:30. So if there's any questions, I'd be glad to answer them, but I know it's a lot to look at, and if you get back to your office and you go through the list and you see something that you feel isn't right, don't hesitate to call us.
Any questions, Ms. Stein? Very good, thank you. We'll move on to item number five, new business. Draft transportation outlook for 2040. Discussion only. Attachment 5A. First.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So attachment 5A is basically the draft of our long-range planning document, Transportation Outlook 2040. By law, we are required to update this document every 4 years. This document is important because it identifies basically the funding priorities for AMATS and how we will select projects and how we will implement those things. Projects have to be consistent with this document in order to receive federal funding, and so that's why every 4 years we update it. A lot hasn't changed from our last plan to this one. Preservation is still our number one priority. In terms of, you know, we really believe that we have to be able to use our funds to maintain our existing system. Of the $5 billion till 2040 that we estimate available to the region, about $4.4 billion of that is allocated just to preserving what we have and showing that basically that expense. We also look at the future. You'll see some recommendations based on some of the projects that ODOT is doing, some of the larger scale highway projects. As well as a listing of more local projects, arterial projects, intersection projects that were identified through our analyses like our safety studies, congestion studies, et cetera. So, and really, we kind of do that more to show the feds there's a list of needs, but our plan states that if it's an operational improvement or a preservation project or a safety project, it's consistent with the document. So, if you have a safety project that's not specifically called out in the plan, that doesn't mean it's not eligible for funding or that it'll score worse than another project. It's just we have to show what's called fiscal constraints, so we have to kind of show how many projects we think we can get done with the amount of money that's federally forecasted. As Dave mentioned, the public meeting, it's going to be a dual purpose, so we'll also be discussing the plan at this public meeting on March 30th. But right now, you know, the plan is, it's conformed to air quality, it's fiscally constrained, the staff is still updating it pretty much every day as we find little grammatical errors and things. Please provide us any comments if you see any major changes that you think need to be made. Like I said, pretty much focusing on the direction that the policy committee has kind of given us over the last 8 years, which has been a focus on preservation as well as, you know, emphasis on safety projects as well. So, with that, this plan will be required to be approved in May as well with the TIP. So we are starting our major public involvement period now to get public comment from it. But if there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer them now.
Quiet group today.
It's kind of like the ACA. Once we pass it, we'll probably agree to that.
All right, hearing no other comments, we'll go to 5B, draft funding policy.
All right, thank you. Yeah, attachment 5B is the draft funding policy guidelines. So, if all of you remember, in May of last year, the AMATS Policy Committee approved membership for a funding policy subcommittee, which was directed to basically look at the funding policy and look at kind of look at it from how equitable it is and how well it benefits and works for all of our communities. On that committee, it was chaired by Vice Chair of the Policy Committee, Mayor Bashar of Richfield. We had Summit County Engineer, which Joe Paradise served primarily, Portage County Engineer, Mickey Marazzi participated, as well as Anthony Zumbo, who is now not part of Portage County, but still, welcome, Anthony, your new role. Akron sat on the committee, Kent sat on the committee, Talmadge, Aurora, Lakemore, and Ravenna were the members, so Mayor Klein also sat on the committee. Mike DePica is here from Akron, sat on the committee. John True, Bob Finney, Jim Bowling, who are all here, and Mayor Justice as well. So we do have quite a few of the members here. What I want to do is just kind of go through the high points of what we've changed, but also provide a little bit of context for why the changes are made. As Dave mentioned, we'll have, if you recall, we did a funding policy workshop last year to kind of identify some of these issues. We're going to do another funding policy workshop in April. What we wanted to do today was kind of give you the document to look at it, review it, take some time with it, and provide us comments over the next month that we can then kind of hash out through a working group of kind of an open, in an open forum setting, which we thought would be sort of easier where we could just focus on this topic. The hope is to approve the document in May. However, if we do run into a lot of issues, if we run into different things, we do have the ability to hold it back to July, even to September if necessary. So while we do have a timeline and a goal of May, if we run into a lot of issues, we're prepared to work into the summer. With that, I'll try to highlight the key points. So one of the main issues that came up frequently was the composition of the TAC TIP subcommittee. Typically, communities larger than 20,000 population were represented on that committee. It's now recommended that the committee also include the policy committee chairman and one representative with a from a population one representative with a population of 10 to 20,000, 5 to 10,000, and 0 to 5,000 on the committee. So basically, adding a village, a smaller incorporated community, and a middle-sized community that would be appointed by the policy committee chairman. What we haven't done in terms of detail is this something that would be we would do it every year in January, or would we do it to match the funding cycle, which is every 2 years, for those people to be on the committee. But the thought on this was that, you know, there was sort of a concern, I think, of just the transparency of who was on the committee, who was really had a voice at the committee table, and this is looking to add that to that committee. So next. And the other large thing that we did was projects that have already received federal funds through AMATS are not eligible to apply for additional funds through the normal application cycle. What we're trying to avoid is that if you came to us in 2016, asked for $3 million, we don't want to see a reapplication during the normal funding policy for another $3 million 2 years later. We think that once a project's been approved and you've been given your project amount, at that point, if there is any desire to increase that amount, it should go through our policy committee off of the usual application cycle. One of the reasons for this is that we wanted our funding to be available for new projects versus continually funding old ones. We want to put a priority on project delivery. So what we want to see is, you know, getting the AMETS money and moving forward with it with not the intent of coming back because you really knew you needed $5 million instead of $3 million. Felt that this change sort of also provided a little bit of, I don't want to say cover for the staff, but it also put in the process is that when a community calls AMATS and says, I need $1 million, then we can say, first step, request goes to TAC TIP committee. Then it goes to TAC, and then the final say is with policy committee. You know, because we don't really have no one and the staff has the authority to say, oh, yeah, sure, here, take $1 million if it's available. It just doesn't work that way. So that's sort of what we would like to do, and we would like to formalize that process. The third thing was we lowered the resurfacing amounts. It was $800,000. We lowered it to $700,000. The committee felt that it was worth it to possibly even get an extra project or maybe two resurfacing projects out of that money. This was a highly debated issue, but I think overall the subcommittee voted that it made sense to try to allow the resurfacing program to help more communities, possibly spread the resurfacing money around. Then the scoring criteria for all of the programs was revised. The biggest issue that, or the biggest thing that we did that I think will have a very large impact is we created the requirement for a priority project selection. So when you are applying to a resurfacing for a resurfacing project or for a STP project, if you apply for more than one project, you select a priority project, and your priority project gets an additional 10 points. So in the case or sort of an example where one community applies for 10 projects and the other community applies for two, the best project from the community that applies for two is going against the best project that the community that applied for 10 has. So basically, everyone's top project gets an extra 10 points in the STP and in the resurfacing. What we found that we felt would do a better job of making sure that it was more fair and more equitable is that, you know, one community was receiving four jobs in a round of funding, or two jobs in a round of funding, or receiving $1.5 million of resurfacing of a $4 million pot. We realized because we don't have a lot of funds that, especially for the resurfacing program, we want to provide, you know, every community to have a fair shot at getting those funds without kind of duplicating and having, say, one community take all. There's other changes in there. One of the bigger ones, too, was for the STP program, we had never required there to be any kind of preservation component in the STP program. It was always, if you were a preservation project or a operational project, you got 20 points, and if you were a capacity project, you got 10 points. We changed that to now reflect the need to, say, understand or consider pavement condition during an STP project. One of the things we found while we were doing the analysis was that basically we had projects applying to us and receiving funding where the road conditions were at a 90 PCR, or, you know, a very high pavement condition. And I think the subcommittee felt that that should be a component of our STP program, is to make sure that when you're applying, are we going to do an operational project on a road that really right now is in good shape, but we're going to rip up that good pavement just to fix an operational issue. Felt that that made preservation, as our goals have been, made preservation the most important component of how we dole out our funding. We did actually include now, it's not as punitive to have a capacity adding project. If you have a capacity project that is an existing E level of service, or an existing D level of service, or F level of service, not D, I'm sorry, you're eligible to receive more points. The safety component is still there. And then the other change that we made was we changed the way the fair share is points are allocated. So now if you have fair share, if your fair share has been 0 to 50%, you receive 10 extra points. If your fair share is between 50% and 100%, you receive 7 points. If your fair share is from over 100% to 150%, you receive 3 points. Over 150% of your fair share, you do not receive additional points. The subcommittee felt that it didn't make sense to reward communities that had already received, you know, 200% of their fair share to get additional points through that process. That's all I kind of wanted to jump into. I know that's a lot, and the reason that we want to give everyone some time, and like I said, if there's questions now, we'd be happy to answer it. One of the things that we did do with this was we ran models of the scoring criteria. We took the 2016 applications, ran them through the new scoring versus the old scoring. I think the subcommittee as a whole, I don't want to speak for everyone, but was really pretty pleased with the results, because we saw major regional investments still rise to the top as we would want them to, but we also saw that we spread out, especially on the resurfacing side, we were able to fund 10 communities resurfacing projects versus 4 communities or 5 communities resurfacing projects. The last round of resurfacing, New Franklin received two projects, Barberton received two projects, and I believe another community received, Summit County Engineer received two projects. You take those three extra projects and move further down the list, we see more communities in play for that funding. Like I said, we do anticipate a debate on this. We want that. This process was driven by the policy committee, not the TAC TIP, so I think it's most important for those of you in the room to be comfortable with this, feel like you understand it. The models that we ran or the projections that we ran, we will share those at the funding policy workshop to kind of get into more detail on this. But I would say if the subcommittee, by the time of our last meeting, we met six times, I think felt fairly good that we had made a lot of positive changes without drastically altering the system to the point where it's unrecognizable. So I would ask all of you to, feel free to ask questions. I would say that written comments, if, say you're requesting a change and you don't like something or, you want more points, having it in writing would be a lot easier for the staff to then present back to you all to say, well, this is what, Stowe requests or thinks that should be on the table. That would be easier than kind of, pulling one of us aside and saying, hey, I think we should do this. So I don't want to make it too burdensome, but I do think it's a lot easier for us if you really are recommending changes to put those changes in writing so we can bring it back to this committee to really explain them. I'd rather have it be from a member's words than from us trying to interpret what the change would be.
Luke Bertrand, Hiram. One of the things that we did when we applied for our sidewalks is you did a traffic count at that time, and we lost it. We didn't have a traffic count. But the reason that we didn't get it was because they never did a pedestrian count. What a traffic count has to do with the sidewalks doesn't really prove anything. So we got the AMATS board to change that criteria, and we ended up our police department did traffic, or we had 3,500 people a day going through the particular intersections, and it was important because our community, because we have a college in it, is a younger community, and some of the communities here are older because we're an aging society in Northeast Ohio. I, as a mayor, want to encourage a couple of things. Number one is many things, but one is the connecting cities with the hike and bike trails. I think that's very important for us and our entire area. The other thing, obviously, is encouraging business and expansion of business, and also some sort of incentive to have people move to our area so we can get some younger folks in, because we're losing, as we know, a lot of population here. Everybody's going south. My kids all moved away and they don't live here because they couldn't get jobs here. And I think it's important that we try to do that, this group, because we're all in the same boat, one way or another. And I think it's important that we do those kind of things too. And we got great education institutions in the area, Akron U, Kent State, Hiram College, all the schools down in Canton, I can't name them all, in Cleveland area, and we've got a trained intellectual, and we've got great education, but we're not really attracting a lot of, we're sending a lot of our, I guess it's a kind of a brain drain and also a physical drain, and I'd like to see us as a group try to reverse that in some way, and I think that's important.
I will say, sitting on that committee, and we did meet six times, and there were 2 to 2.5 hours each time, so I think the committee did a good job, and it was not just a rubber stamp. Believe me, there was a lot of back and forth, but I think what we tried to make it easy as we could with a little bit of changes. Great job with the staff putting all this stuff together, presenting this stuff to us, so hats off to the staff for that and the committee for doing that. Like Curtis said, we do have a special meeting just to talk about this up in Twinsburg.
Richfield. Actually, again, the same location we had the last
time. So I encourage you to definitely look at this thing. And it's not, if it gets amended again, that's okay. That's what we're all about. So it's a starting point for a change that I think will help some of the other communities. Anybody, any other discussion on this?
I'd just like to add to that a little bit, Dave. Curtis and everybody here, I really appreciate just having this discussion. Coming from a smaller community, and our numbers don't stand out, you know, according to this criteria right now. Have a hard time getting anything, just the opportunity to discuss and make some changes. But my goal wasn't to bring money into Lake More. I'm more of a regional person. I think that this is regional money. And I think that if we have good spots and bad spots in our region, it doesn't do us any good. So I think these changes are better, not just for a smaller community, but better for our whole region. And thanks for just having this discussion moving forward.
Any other discussion? Thank you. Item number six, resolutions. We have none?
None.
Item number seven, any other business?
And if I could just add just real quick, we have been having some IT issues with AMAX, and so I would say that if you think you should be receiving something and you're not, it might be either getting caught in our spam filters or it might be getting spammed on the way out. Or if you think we're not responding to something, it could have also gotten caught in the teeth of the Barracuda, which is what we use. So I would say just keep an eye out for that. We apologize. We're hoping to have these things cleared up, but we've just heard a couple rumblings where we've had a few issues, and obviously you guys all got the information, but I want to make sure that
might not spam.
Yeah. So, but I appreciate it. So thank you.
Keep in mind our next meeting's May 25th, and at 1:30, same location.